The Marlins are using the Dodgers as their personal ATM. These words were uttered by one of our fantasy analysts just seconds before we started the podcast. We have been talking baseball for about 5 minutes, none fantasy, just such interesting stuff going on right now. What a day, guys. How are we
what
doing?
What a night.
Yeah, what a night, I guess.
I don't know why Chris, the Marlins fan, is upset. I think Scott, the Braves fan, should be more upset by this proposed three-team deal.
Well, let's be clear. As a Marlins fan, I'm completely dead inside.
Well, that is very understandable, Chris. And yeah, there were a couple of trades that kind of went down yesterday, and then they didn't, but one might. So we'll get on that. We have a breaking trade with Brandon Moss going to St. Louis. I'm Adam Azer. I am back, and I want to thank Chris Towers for filling in very nicely yesterday. One thing he did not do, though, he did not read some of the funny little notes that I put in the notes.
I mentioned some of them.
Some, but not all. Not all, but, you know, that's your call. You're the host. It's Thursday, July 30th, and a lot happening. Before we get into the trades, I'm going to fire off some questions at you. Rest of season, Felix Hernandez or Chris Archer?
Give me Felix.
You gotta go Felix.
Do you,
though? As good as Archer's been.
What about the strikeouts? Huge difference in strikeouts. 38 more for Archer in similar, only 3 1/3 more innings.
That is a big deal. Chris Archer's slider is probably the best pitch in baseball. But Felix Hernandez is going to win more games. He's on I think it's fair to say a much better team, even if the Mariners aren't that good. I just think, and the track record. You have to give some credence to the fact that Felix has been one of the two best pitchers in baseball for 10 years.
Yeah, that's the main point of me. I just don't think there's any downside to saying Felix. I mean, even if Archer ends up being a little better,
it's like you picked Felix Hernandez. You can't feel bad about it, the process.
What a frustrating loss yesterday for Chris Archer owners. That was ridiculous.
I believe that's the second time this season that he's lost while allowing zero earned runs.
Ridiculous. All right, rest of season. And this is a continuation of a conversation Heath and I had on Monday, I guess, when it was just us. Lucas Duda or Eric Hosmer? Duda coming off a 3-homer night. He's got 5 home runs in his last 4 games.
I think, cause Heath was giving me a hard time yesterday before this game for Duda, about having Hosmer so low. When I remember the discussion at the start of the year was, oh, Scott, you have Hosmer way too high. And so I don't know how I became the low guy on Hosmer all of a sudden. Probably because it's a Royals fan.
I think Heath is just looking for anybody who might be downgrading the Royals in any way.
Yeah, he's, kind of has a one-track mind that way, but I'm going to say Duda's lower in points leagues because I think there's a clear power disparity there, and I think Duda's numbers are probably like this is the low point for them, maybe not right after a 3-homer game, but
yeah.
The rest of the numbers because that slump in the middle of the season went on for so long and it was just not what we were expecting from him based on what he did last year. And meanwhile, I think we're kind of at a high point for Hosmer because I think, you know, I've gone back and forth on Hosmer so much since he first came into the league, looking like he's on the verge of the breakthrough and then looking like he's not a mixed league caliber first baseman, back and forth and back and forth. I think we can finally draw the conclusion with him that he's just incredibly streaky and
and even the highs aren't that high.
Well,
nobody has answered the question here.
I'll take Duda. I think it's pretty easy.
I did answer the question.
You just missed it.
You
said Duda's higher in points. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I said Hosmer higher in points, Duda higher in
growth. Oh, okay.
I would rather have Duda pretty easily.
Duda, by the way, has hit 6 home runs in 4 games, not 5. In fact, those are his only 6 hits. 6 for 16, 6 home runs, 7 RBI, and 15 of his 18 homers have come at home. All right, so Duda it is in points, and in Roto for Scott, it's going to be Hosmer. In Roto for Chris, it's going to be Duda. Last one, rank these three. Preston Tucker, Jock Peterson, Adam Eaton. Preston Tucker, Jock Peterson, Adam Eaton. And before you dismiss Preston Tucker, I will tell you that he has been better per plate appearance than Jock Peterson in terms of fantasy points, and probably better than Adam Eaton as well per plate appearance.
Well, the reason I use per game instead of per plate appearance is because of less than full-time players like Tucker.
Yes.
Ends okay. up being kind of misleading. So I'm surprised you didn't say before you dismiss Eaton, because I think he's the one whose production may go the most overlooked. But I still go Peterson, Eaton, and Tucker, and I think they're in completely different tiers.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay, I brought this up because Peterson batted seventh yesterday. They took him out of the leadoff spot, and this was against a righty, not a lefty. He has been just awful. 47 games, Peterson's batting 180 with a 301 on base. He still manages to draw his walks, but a 299 slugging percentage, four homers, eight doubles in those 47 games. And it look, I mean, right now they have a problem with how bad he's been, but you still think he's a tier above Tucker and Eaton.
I just think the upside's so much higher.
He doesn't steal bases. Maybe we can give up on that at this point. He has, what, two in eight attempts?
I think this season we can give up on it. I think it's still going to be a part of his game eventually, but right now it's clearly not.
He hasn't been efficient enough with that. So I don't know. But I think just the power-patience combo is really... if you could have any two skills in baseball, or really in fantasy, I guess maybe if you're talking strictly a roto league, you'd take more power or speed, but... power and patience. You knew he was going to slump at some point with as much as he strikes out, but there's still that underlying skill set that screams elite to me.
So you guys think good things are to come for Peterson?
Yes.
Okay. Ready to talk trades?
Yes.
All right.
Are we sure the trade? Which trades?
Well, I put a question mark next to some of them.
Okay.
All right, let's start with one that actually did happen. Brandon Moss to St. Louis just happened.
Yeah.
Not the headliner, but significant. And Matt Holliday re-injured his calf yesterday. They definitely need a bat. We don't know about Holliday, but look, he missed, 31 games earlier this year with the same injury. So that could be bad. They obviously need a first baseman. Moss to the Cardinals. Value up, down, or the
same? He's definitely going to a worse power park. But I think it's probably mostly the same. He hasn't had a ton of value this season anyway. He's been pretty bad. So if anything, it could go up being in a better lineup.
Okay. All right, then how about a fun one? Scott has Cole Hamels in his top 15 now with the trade to the Texas Rangers. It's Hamels, Jake Diekman going to the Rangers for Matt Harrison, a catcher prospect, Jorge Alfaro, and a bunch of minor leaguers. Hamels still has $75 million over the next 3 years due to him. And Scott has Hamels over Cueto, which I found interesting.
I don't know if I agree with that.
I think there's a lot less risk with Hamels.
Because of the injury?
Yeah. I mean, how many flare-ups has Cueto had with that elbow already?
Yeah.
And I like Hamels' peripherals better. The strikeout rate is better.
One thing to keep in mind, though, is Cueto, I think at this point we can pretty much say that he's the glitch in the advanced pitching metrics matrix.
That's fine, but I think Hamels' ERA is kind of a glitch, too. I think maybe
yes.
People look at that 360 mark and think, no, that's not ace caliber, but the FIP is 320-ish, and there were a couple rough patches that contributed to that high ERA that were widely blamed on external factors that we can't really quantify, like early in the year he was changing his approach because he wasn't getting any offense behind him and he was pitching around hitters more, and it led to a spike in walks and just didn't lead to good things.
Yes.
And then more recently, you know, the trade deadline stuff. I don't know how much that factors into the ERA being higher than it theoretically should be, but I have a hard time believing it's zero impact.
On the other hand, Johnny Cueto led the National League in strikeouts last season. He's putting up his second season with a sub-1 whip. He has a similar FIP, actually a little bit lower than Cole Hamels, and he's proven in his career that he's a guy that just generates nothing but weak contact and outperforms his FIP pretty drastically. It's a sustainable skill for this guy. Now he's moving to a much better pitcher's park, And he has the best defense in baseball behind him.
Yeah.
Whereas Cole Hamels is moving to a worse pitcher's park.
It's kind of like, well, no. Rangers actually is a bad park for power now. It's been trending that way for a few years. So I actually think the park is an improvement, although he will have to face the DH. But I mean, this comparison is kind of like what we're doing with Felix and Archer before. It's just they're both ace caliber pitchers. Which do you feel more comfortable with?
So let's get to the crux of it. Value up, down, or the same for Hamels with this trade?
Oh, definitely up. I mean, he's going to win some games now.
And the Phillies' defense is an abomination.
Okay, good. Good stuff. We want to see Hamels. And, you know, Hamels, I think maybe, well, I wish they were in a playoff race. That would have been even better for him. We've seen what he can do when it counts, but they really aren't. I mean, I don't know. Everybody's kind of alive for the second wild card for the most part, but Rangers aren't very good these days. All right, so here's one trade that almost happened. Milwaukee had sent Carlos Gomez to the Mets for Zach Wheeler and Wilmer Flores. Wilmer Flores emotionally was crying when he found out the news, before Terry Collins found out the news, in fact.
Terry Collins was very upset with Twitter.
Yeah. You don't like when people don't like Twitter, Chris. You are Twitter's like ultimate defender.
Well, I'm just like, pull your guy out of the game, dude.
Well, I don't know. I think everybody's kind of going a little too hard on Terry Collins.
Don't blame other people. Like, pull yourself out. Like, pull the dude out of the game.
He wasn't told of a trade.
Yeah, he didn't know.
He's just hearing rumors on Twitter. Is that reason enough to pull a guy from the game?
Yeah, if your dude is crying out in the infield, of course you pull him out of the game. You don't, like, leave him out to dry.
You
like,
guys that is crying that in that baseball, so Chris. Cool. You don't just pull a guy because he's crying. This is, like, rule number one of baseball. You know that.
I have seen A League of Their Own.
This goes back to World War II, man. There's no crying in baseball.
I think Terry Collins is to blame. Terry Collins made Wilmer Flores
cry. I don't think anyone.
Why
do we have to blame anybody?
Because this is the Twitter age. Everybody needs to be blamed.
Like, he is a bully.
Is Wilmer Flores crying the reason the Mets lost the game? I don't understand. Why is there blame happening?
Well, it's in my opinion, it's the reason they lost the trade. You know, these Carlos Gomez hip rumors are just a front because the Brewers were like, oh no, we are not trading for the crybaby. And they nixed the deal. That's my conspiracy theory.
I mean,
the hip beyond messing up the trade, the hip is a concern for fantasy.
Yes, this stinks. Like, this is kind of an explanation for Carlos Gomez, in my opinion. What do you guys think?
He's attempted 3 steals since June 23rd when he came back. He missed. I loved Scott. I know Scott Boras has to defend his guy and make sure his trade value doesn't take a hit and all this. But when he said he's never had a hip issue, he missed 9 of 12 games in June with a hip issue. They said it was a hip issue. He had an MRI on his hip.
Mm-hmm.
And he's attempted 3 steals in 29 games since.
Yeah.
Of course he had a hip issue.
He's not having a good season, steals-wise, power-wise, anything. I saw a lot of upset Mets fans on Twitter when this deal didn't go through. And I just don't understand the Mets fan base. I just don't, because this looked like a horrible trade for the Mets.
Oh, I don't know. I disagree.
I liked it. I thought it was fine.
Yeah, I thought it was good. Because you would have had Gomez. You would have had Gomez for another year, and
but he's not an elite level player.
Well, so now that we know that he failed his physical, it's easy to say that. But before that, I kind of thought, he's Carlos Gomez. He'll turn it around. He's been really good for 2 straight seasons. Didn't you feel the same way?
No, I can't say I did. I was working on my rankings last night when all this stuff started happening. I'd already gotten through outfield, and I had dropped him about 15 spots before the trade or any news of the trade falling through.
And the trade would have been pretty bad for him because Miller Park is a very good home run hitter's park.
He has pretty bad home road splits, drastic through his career. This year, but through his career.
A pitcher with Zach Wheeler's upside who, like, very early into service time, a lot of years of team control left.
He's arbitration eligible at the end of this season, I believe.
Already?
This was supposed to be his 3rd season.
He came up pretty late 2 years ago, though.
He logged 100 innings. He might be at least Super 2. Well, but he's not arbitration eligible.
I just feel like he should fetch a lot more than, you know, an aging, not so sure to hit for power outfielder.
Yeah, but he's also, he just started throwing. He just picked up a baseball and threw it for the first time since major reconstructive elbow
surgery. Okay, that doesn't change the long-term value.
Sure it does. Tommy John surgery is not 100%. You have to factor that in.
It's...
Especially when you're dealing with the underlying things that
it was
a fine trade.
It doesn't ruin his value.
I thought it was a fine trade. Wheeler has ace potential. He would have been a good fit at the top of the Brewers rotation for a long time, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. So Carlos Gomez, Scott, you moved him down to where?
Let me see. I moved him down to 19th in outfielder rankings. Right around that Jock Peterson level.
Okay. Yeah, you go Gomez, Puig, Peterson. That's your roto. I don't know if it's the same in points.
Yeah, it's not hard to...
Yeah, same in points.
That makes sense.
All right, now, this is interesting. Well, let me get some other annoying ones out of the way quickly here. John Heyman reports that Javier Baez could be on the trading block. I don't know why I said annoying. These are actually interesting. Javier Baez.
There's nowhere for him to play.
Yeah, well, is he healthy now? If he gets traded, could he come up and play shortstop?
I believe he did return. I can confirm it while you move on to the next thing.
Okay, something to keep in mind here. Joe Maddon told Starlin Castro he will not get traded, and the Royals traded Joe Blanton to Pittsburgh for cash.
I do want to point out Javier Baez has improved his strikeout rate at AAA this season. It was 29.9% last year. It's down to about 25%. Obviously, it doesn't matter because his major league strikeout rate was so much higher even than his AAA strikeout rate, but it's a good sign. It's a sign that he's learning. He's identifying pitches.
If I was a Cubs fan, I'd much rather than find a taker for Starlin Castro than Baez.
Well,
Not sure that's going to happen, but that would be the ideal.
Yeah. Okay. So how about the fun one now? This might be happening.
Air quotes, fun.
We've got this three-team deal where the Dodgers are going to get Matt Latos, Michael Morse, and the 34th pick in next year's draft from the Marlins for three minor league pitchers that nobody seems to be very high on. So this is a salary dump for the Marlins. Latos, Morse, and 34th pick in next year's draft. The Dodgers...
You have to appreciate... Let me just interrupt for 1 second. Appreciate the delicious irony of something called a competitive balance pick being traded from the Marlins to the Dodgers. Although I guess it ends up with the Braves at the end of the deal. But there's just... You have to love that is a thing that can happen.
Okay, now the Braves factor in this regard. The Dodgers are also get... Yeah, Scott?
I was going to say the Braves aspect is where really we could see some big changes in fantasy.
Okay, here we go. So the Braves are giving up Alex Wood, Jim Johnson, relief pitcher Luis Avilan, and infielder Jose Peraza.
Their top prospect.
Four.
This trade is a disaster. It's so bad.
Four, infielder Hector Olivera, who recently signed a 6-year, $62.5 million deal with the Dodgers, but $28 million of it is already paid for.
Yeah.
Zach Bird, a pitcher, and relief pitcher Paco Rodriguez. Okay, Scott, go ahead and break this down and tell us why it's so big for fantasy.
All right, well, if I have a tone, let me just remind everyone, I am a Braves fan, admittedly, and, you know, I hadn't consciously thought about it much, but if you asked me who my favorite player was, I probably would say Alex Wood. So this deal saddens me, but here's the two biggest issues for fantasy owners. Hector Olivera, if he goes to the Braves, he's already 30 years old. He's crushing it at AAA. He would suddenly be an everyday player, second base eligible, and probably worth adding. Maybe not quite across the board. Maybe not those 21 man head to head rosters with only one second base spot, but anything deeper than that. Be worth adding. Jim Johnson is closing for the Braves right now. He wouldn't close for the Dodgers, obviously. They already said a few weeks ago that Aroldis Vizcaíno was their closer in waiting, so he would suddenly become a closer and experience all the change in value that goes with that. So those are that's the main fantasy angle here. Obviously, Wood would be a starter for probably not the Dodgers. There's talk that he'd then be flipped to Tigers, but it would be to start. So his value doesn't really change significantly. From a baseball perspective, Chris was saying how terrible of a trade this was. I mean, I kind of agree. I feel like Alex Wood, a pitcher very early in his career who's had some great, I mean, last year was a great season. It was near ace level.
Since the start of 2013, he has a better FIP than Cole Hamels.
So, and Jose Peraza, like I said, their number one prospect. Now, I kind of feel like he's an overrated prospect because he doesn't bring much to the table other than speed and maybe batting average. And defense, I guess.
He doesn't strike out, is the biggest.
Yeah.
He never strikes out.
But Oliveira, I think, you know, trying to view this from the Braves' perspective, and you know, this matters in fantasy. The fact that the Braves have made a lot of very good moves during this rebuilding process, I feel like they've, quote-unquote, won every deal, except for maybe this one. And I think this shows...
It's a huge check.
How much they like Hector Oliveira, how much potential he could potentially have offensively, and B, I always have this concern with pitchers who succeed like Alex Wood does, the deceptive lefty who doesn't come up with much prospect fanfare, but seems to dominate based on deception, basically. We saw it with Tony Cingrani.
Yeah.
To some degree, we saw it with Dontrelle Willis.
Yeah.
Eventually, the scouting reports get out, and they lose that advantage they have, and they become pretty ordinary. And Alex Wood's kind of had an ordinary season, now better recently, and I haven't lost hope, given up hope in him, but maybe they have some kind of internal way of evaluating him that makes them think the wheels are about to come off here. And that's something to keep in mind in fantasy because I do trust the people making these moves.
Well, they have more information than anybody else does.
But at the same time, I don't like it at face value.
It's a lot for a 30-year-old who, between the minors this season and his last season in Cuba, has 354 plate appearances since the end of the 2011 season.
And he's 30 and unproven at the major league level. Now, you mentioned Adam. The contract, it sounds like a big contract, but because so much of it is already paid, they would have 5 years of this guy making $6 to $7 million a year, which if he is a middle of the order of that is a really good deal. But
and he'll only be 36 when the contract ends.
I mean they better become competitive soon to get any value out of it.
Well, you've inspired me to do two things. I dropped Zach Godley for Hector Oliveira, and okay. I dropped. Tell me what you think of this. Drew Storen for Aroldis Vizcaíno.
I don't see how that's a problem.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. Vizcaíno.
Storen really kicks up a poop storm and gets himself traded, but I don't think it's going to happen.
That would completely defeat the purpose of trading for Papelbon if they got rid of Storen. All right. So interesting stuff. Vizcaíno is definitely a guy that you want to get if you've got an open roster spot. Because one way or another, it's obvious the Braves want to trade Jim Johnson.
Yeah.
And you should definitely add Matt Latos.
Yeah. Latos going to a team that's going to win more. That would be very good. And so you said that Wood could go to the Tigers. Would that involve David Price?
Yeah, that seems to be...
That's the scuttlebutt.
Yeah, but it's, you know...
Just scuttlebutt.
How about we talk about yesterday's action? You ready?
Sure.
Here we go.
It was a big day for baseball,
it
too.
It was. Yeah, a lot of stuff. All right, first the big news. Mike Trout missed another game with his wrist injury. Mike Socha thinks he'll be back soon. Matt Holliday left with the quad strain, as mentioned. He missed 31 games because of it, so there is some concern there. Edwin Encarnacion sat out with a jammed finger. Clayton Kershaw was scratched with hip soreness. Mike Bolsinger started in Kershaw's place, and Kershaw probably will pitch tomorrow. Mookie Betts is on the 7-day concussion DL. Kirk Casale, DH for Tampa Bay. I don't know if that's going to happen a lot, but he's been hitting those home runs. And, you know, if you're desperate for a catcher. Robinson Cano missed yesterday's game. He has an abdominal strain. I don't like that. It's a grade one strain. Cano's going to be out probably for a few more days, and then he might DH.
Yeah, Devin, hopefully he doesn't DL.
Yeah, I know.
But I'd be worried about. He's finally getting his season on track. Terrible timing.
Devin Travis was out with a shoulder injury. Ryan Goins started second base for the Blue Jays. Teixeira's day-to-day with a foot injury. He was hit by a pitch on the foot on Tuesday. If Garrett Jones is in the lineup today, he has good numbers against Gallardo and probably super cheap. Tyson Ross left last night. Start with a tight quad. He was hit by a comebacker on the quad. Does not think it's serious. Travis Darnosh,
overabundance of caution, I think.
Yeah. Very Rossian start, too, with four walks but one run, I think, in five innings. Did give
he's
up a home run, though. Yeah, he's on the block. We want to see him stay in San Diego, right?
I don't know. I mean,
we definitely want to see Andrew Cashner stay in San Diego. Tyson Ross, I think, can play up pretty much anywhere.
Yeah,
he'd be someone
pitcher,
I'd love
batmister.
To see with an actual infield behind him.
I like him too, but he could walk guys in any ballpark.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
Let's see. Travis Darnosh should be back this weekend. Jed Lowry will be back today. Shortstop eligible. Do you think he's the regular third baseman for the Astros?
There seem to be indications that that'll happen. Yeah. I mean, if it's not every day right away, I think sooner than later because Valbuena, I think they've gotten most of what they're going to get out of him.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got. Joe Panik, day-to-day with a back issue. Justin Turner was out again. He has a skin infection on his leg. Gregory Polanco left yesterday's game with a sore knee, and I don't think either of you guys gave your take on Troy Tulowitzki. Me and Heath kind of talked about it.
You and Heath.
Well, I'm very surprised he let off.
Yeah,
although
let
it's
off.
Not that Big surprising, because they have let off with Josh Donaldson. At times this season, I think he's their third most used leadoff hitter. So it actually makes some sense for Tula.
I think if you know, you don't like to see any hitter leave Colorado, obviously, but if there was anywhere he's going to go, Toronto is probably the best place where he could retain all his value.
Toronto is a better park for right-handed power than Coors Field.
Wow. So I have one thing to say, though, because I said it on Monday or whenever this trade went down. And I don't know that anyone else has said it. This is my – it was original to me. I didn't steal it from anyone. But has anybody been talking about the turf? I just think this is a bad idea.
Seen,
people are talking about it?
I've seen people talk about it.
Oh, damn it.
You're not original, Adam.
Oh, I thought I had one there. Okay, well, yeah, that's my concern long term for Tulo. He's playing on that turf.
Yeah, the injury history. But I don't feel like the injuries he's had are – the kinds of injuries that...
Well, you know, he'll be on the clay most of the time.
He's got chronic leg injuries. Wasn't it a hip?
Yeah, I guess there is a hip. I guess that could have an impact.
He's got two.
They could DH him. so that also helps, but I don't know. Interesting fit there. Okay, your stat of the day. We talked about him yesterday. I don't know how much we want to get into it, but Melky Cabrera, first player since 1914 to have multiple hits and an RBI in seven straight games.
Scott? It was six yesterday, right? First player since 1914 to have six straight.
So it's just going to be that every
now
time.
Now it's seven.
Yeah, it was six
yesterday.
Before yesterday.
I don't know.
He was first. He keeps becoming the first player to do this. It just the games becomes bigger.
Well, if I had known that, then this wouldn't have been stat of the day.
Yeah.
Scott, I wish I had taken your advice and started him.
Yeah. He is probably a guy you're going to want to start the rest of the season.
Stat of the day number two, Yasiel Puig became the first Dodger to homer on his bobblehead night. Let's talk about Yasiel Puig.
That doesn't sound like an official stat at all.
Well, it was in the game recap, so it works for me. What do you think about Puig rest of season? He is not playing very well.
He started playing baseball video games instead of soccer video games. He thinks that's going to help.
Is that right?
That's I saw that.
Well, I would say Mario Kart probably made me a better driver back in high school.
There you go.
You know what? All those like car driving games, like I think when I played them as a kid, it really just ramped up my anxiety for actual driving because it's so much harder to drive in them than actual driving is.
Yeah.
And you don't know
you're
that.
You're not going 120 miles an hour
until you experience your actual car. Well, yeah, you're not really in the game either.
You also, you're driving on 95 and Bowser pulls up to your left and it's pretty intimidating.
Especially if he's got a red shell.
Grand Theft Auto made me better. You know, never mind, actually.
Just final thought on this discussion here. N64 doesn't get enough credit. Just.
Oh, it's a classic.
GoldenEye and Mario Kart on N64.
Super Mario 64. I'll go to bat for that game forever.
Fine. But GoldenEye, greatest multiplayer game ever, in my opinion.
I'm terrible at it. Yeah. Oh, I wasn't so great at Mario Kart either. But...
And Scott's not.
I mean, Super
this.
Smash Brothers is probably even better than both, right?
I never played that.
Oh, what? We gotta move on because we're gonna get too bogged down and Adam never having.
Yasuo Puig, Yasuo Puig. What do you think?
I think he is bound to improve moving forward. I think he's a very good player. I think he might also be at the point where he's better in real life than fantasy.
Well, he's not a base stealer.
Yep.
And I do have questions about the home run power at this point. It's gone on long enough. I do think there's plenty of raw power, but usable power, I don't know if it's just maybe there's not enough pull tendency with him. I don't know.
I think he might have just been miscast for. I think he hit like 7 home runs in his first month in the majors. That was probably his best month overall. But I think he's just more of a really, really good all-around hitter than a guy who's going to hit 25 to 30 home runs.
Can that we, being said, he's, what, 24?
Yeah. Can we put the Points League specialist label on Yasiel Puig? He was a lot better in Points Leagues than he was in Roto.
I think so.
Hmm.
And one thing I want to point out is his BABIP is 299 this year. It was 383 in his rookie year, 356 in his second season. So that seems to be, like, I looked at all the ratios today. The walk rate's down a little. The strikeout rate is up a bit. But the home run to fly ball rate's pretty similar. Line drive rate. All that stuff looks pretty similar. But more fly balls and lower BABIP.
Yeah, I mean, the BABIP, I think, is going to correct itself some going forward. I see him as a guy who hits for average. And I think that's why, you know, the Roto versus head-to-head comparison. To me, he doesn't walk enough to be a head-to-head specialist. If he's a 300 hitter, that's going to benefit him more in Roto. So I feel like, at worst, he's going to be dual, the same in both.
Okay. FanDuel! Get on it, people! What are you waiting for? Go to FanDuel.com right now. Use our offer code CBSPOD. Got a pretty sweet offer for you. First deposit you make up to $200 gets matched dollar for dollar as you play. Gets earned as you play. FanDuel's going to match that for you if you use that offer code CBSPOD. Also, join our tournament, FanDuel.com/CBSPOD. Compete against us every day. $2 entry. 150 people are in, so you got to sign up pretty quickly. FanDuel.com/CBSPOD. And FanDuel is a lot of fun. You can play a variety of sports. We'll tell you so much more about football once the football season gets underway. But right now, go ahead and play fantasy baseball. If your team's out of it in your seasonal league, FanDuel's a great way to compete, be competitive every single day, and it's pretty cheap as well. You can play for as little as $1. Today, we are giving away $5 in FanDuel cash to 2 lucky winners. If you tweet me at Adam Azer, AIZER, tweet me. I'll select you at random, probably pretty early in the day, so get on that. Tweet me at Adam Azer for $5 in FanDuel cash.
Adam.
But, yeah.
I like the way you say tournament.
I say it weird. I know I say it weird. It's a word I struggle with.
It's probably, you know, phonetically, I think it's probably better than tournament.
What do I say?
Tournament. Tournament.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I'd say tournament, like T-E-R-N. That's not how it's spelled, obviously. I think tournament fits the spelling better.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, no, you know what? I am great at that. Thank you, Scott. Let's talk about Wednesday's standouts now. Go ahead. I can start. You guys can start whatever you want to do.
Okay. I want to start with Chris Tillman.
Do it.
Because I think people need to get on board with this guy. He is, and I never know what to make of the first and second half split thing because it just seems kind of arbitrary, but now this is looking like the third year in a row. You look at his career numbers, first half, 4.42 ERA, 1.44 WHIP, 6.3 Ks per nine. Second half, 3.67 ERA, 1.16 WHIP, 7.1 strikeouts per nine. So the WHIP goes way down. Strikeout rate goes up. And so far, in 3 second half starts, 7 hits in 23 and a 2/3 innings. So I think he's back to being mixed league relevant just like that.
He is 61% owned, that Chris Tillman. Would you rather have Tillman or Latos?
Latos.
Yeah, for the strikeouts, but they're not in like different categories for me. They're right there.
Tillman or Salazar, or is that just ridiculous?
Oh, Salazar.
Salazar.
They are in different categories.
Tillman or Eovaldi?
Tillman.
I'll go Tillman.
All right. Oh, Tillman or Corbin, who had another nice start yesterday.
Ooh.
I had a feeling this was going to be a good start for Corbin because Seattle doesn't hit lefties well, and Cano didn't play. Chris said Corbin.
I think I'd go Tillman. The last couple games, the strikeouts have been good for Corbin, but I don't see him as a strikeout pitcher, and I just feel like Tillman's a lot. If you're getting a non-strikeout pitcher anyway, Tillman's a lot safer.
Yeah, Adam.
Yes.
Are we officially worried about Masahiro Tanaka?
Did something happen in the last 5 minutes, like a news story about?
No, he's been very mediocre, very pedestrian.
Okay,
his last 7 starts.
I think he's like a 3.30 ERA guy.
He's a 3.80 ERA guy right now.
Yeah, I think 3.30. Yesterday was just didn't have it. Just that simple. He just didn't have his good stuff. Didn't have a good fastball. Now the last start was
in his last 7 outings.
Okay, the last start though was 7 innings, 3 runs, I think, and he gave up 2 solo shots in like the 8th, and it was a blowout, and he honestly looked great. And he had a lot of strikeouts, I think. Walk to strikeout ratio is still really good. The WHIP is incredible.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried. I just have lower expectations. He's kind of like number 3 or number 4 rotation guy, I think, for fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's looking like. But what would he be if he just had Tommy John surgery? What would he be?
I can't even speculate. Days he has good velocity.
I'll always wonder. I think John Lackey is the clearest example of how big a difference a fully healthy elbow makes.
Yeah, I agree.
Look at his career track record, or the year by year, and when the surgery happened.
Well, actually, I wanted to talk about Lackey because he is having a ridiculous season right now. He has the lowest ERA of his career. It's at 2.78. Second lowest WHIP of his career. He's 9-6. Last 9 starts, Lackey has a 1.67 ERA. All this with the lowest K rate since 2011, which was just before his Tommy John surgery. Lackey's just, the ballpark seems to be making a big difference. The home run rate is way down. What do you guys think of John Lackey, who has started in 82% of leagues?
I think he's a rich man's Chris Tillman. Which is more an endorsement of Tillman than me belittling Lackey's performance here. I think he's probably due for some regression, but at the same time, I think he's must own.
Yeah.
Do you think Lackey? How would you compare Lackey and Tanaka?
I do think they're in different categories. Tanaka's probably closer to that Salazar class we were talking about. When Lackey, like I said, is a little closer to Chris Tillman's level. I mean, it's probably unfair to compare him to him. It's probably a better comparison would be like Irvin Santana. But you get where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm. Justin Verlander. Whoa.
He's really good.
3 out of 4 pretty encouraging starts here. This one was obviously the best. Of course, it was the Rays. 8 mm-hmm. innings, 1 run, a solo homer, 4 hits, no walks, and 10 strikeouts. What do you think?
10 freaking strikeouts. That was his first start with more than a strikeout per inning, by the way.
The velocity has been there the entire time.
What do you mean by that?
Old school Verlander.
Right.
Velocity.
He's been
like
hitting
last year's.
But
Verlander.
He's been hitting 97 in all of his starts. Like that's
so
he's been maxing
velocity.
Out.
Nah, the you got to watch like the average velocity. Cuz
yeah,
he's
no,
like
but
a
I'm
93
saying, like, the average
guy
velocity
now.
Still mid like 93 to 94. Yeah.
It's good velocity.
It's
just
good
not
velocity. It's
just,
not. It's not peak Verlander, but he's
right.
31. Like no, that's not.
Well, he's been bad the last 2 years. Is the thing, and it's coincided with that drop in average fastball velocity. Yeah. So the fact that the average fastball velocity is the same isn't encouraging to me. Is this stretch encouraging to me? I'd be lying if I said it wasn't, but at the same time, I have this feeling deep down inside that I am just, being manipulated. He's pulling the wool over my eyes. I'm going to fall for it again.
Yeah, it's the Rays. I mean, I know it's three good starts out of four, but this one against the Rays, I kind of throw it out because they're so bad. Would rather have Tillman or Verlander?
See, I'm going to take Verlander.
Yep.
Ooh, just for the upside, just for that chance.
Just really, it's the collection of letters in his name in that specific order. If it was anyone, if it was anyone else, we probably don't put that much stock into it. But since it's Verlander,
is it Verlander or is it Verlander?
No, Verlander. It's Verlander.
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 Oh, see, Chris is saying.
But yeah, Chris, I don't know what you're doing right now because we've been trying for years to get Scott to pronounce his name properly, and he's finally coming around, and now you're Verlandering it again. It's just like, this is a terrible thing for Scott. Terrible thing.
See, here's the thing. There was this mnemonic device when he first got called up. I would say to myself, the eagle has Verlanded, which would reinforce the Verlander.
Right, which was wrong from the get-go.
So you created a mnemonic device to remember his name incorrect.
Yes.
That's not how mnemonic devices work.
Well, no, you're right.
I have a category here called Just Saying. Just saying, Dexter Fowler homered again.
All right.
Is that a good July? Anyone care?
Look, I was doing
rankings.
He has
good stretches.
I was doing the rankings yesterday, like I said, and where he shows up in head-to-head among outfielders, meaning how good he's been, is just staggering to me. I can't justify ranking him that high.
Where are we talking here for Fowler?
I'm pulling it up. It is ridiculously high.
You have him 43rd in points.
It is ahead of Adam Jones.
So that's like 25th-ish.
Yeah, that's probably about right. I'm going to get the exact count for you right now. He is 23rd. It goes... It goes Justin Upton, who suddenly fallen to this point with his 17 home runs, 17 steals. Justin Upton, Carlos Gonzalez, Chris Davis, Dexter Fowler.
All right. And then
Curtis Granderson, and now it gets interesting again. Adam Jones, Hanley Ramirez, Jock Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how would you have ordered those names I just rattled off?
Well, they've all... Jones surprises me that he's that low. Does he have an extremely low RBI total? Kind of like freakishly low? Is that him? The other guys have been so streaky.
Low.
Like Fowler and Upton have had...
Jones has been pretty streaky, though.
At the end of the... Yeah, yeah. Fowler and Upton have had such similar seasons. Like, both had amazing first months.
Jones has also missed, 12 games.
Okay, yeah, that could have something.
And you're talking about head-to-head?
Uh-huh.
Jones is a guy I feel like I can't downgrade too much because all his ratios look the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But for some reason, it's not translating to as much fantasy production.
We discussed this a couple weeks ago. He was a guy that a large part of his value came from just crushing volume. On a per-plate appearance basis or a per-game basis, he's fine. He's a good player.
He's a little more than fine.
He's not
top five. I get what you're saying.
He's a good player. But yeah. The reason he was an elite fantasy option is because from 2010 to 2014, he missed 5 games total.
Yeah. Hunter Pence did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they're fine players. They're perfectly reasonable fantasy
options. But Adam Jones is also like a 28 homer guy.
Yeah.
You know?
And he hasn't been that, and he hasn't been that this season.
Right.
His pace is a little off.
I'm going to keep going here. Just saying here, Carlos Gonzalez homered on the road against a lefty yesterday.
This is ridiculous. You can't buy it. Like, you can't buy him hitting it on the road all of a sudden. He's never done it.
Mm-hmm.
And he might get traded, so keep that in mind. Jung Ho Kang homered again yesterday. Just saying, 53%.
811 OPS now. Shortstop eligible player. I'm just saying with you.
Yep. I picked him up in the podcast league.
I think his on-base percentage is over 370. Forget that he's not as big of a power hitter as you hoped he'd be. That's valuable in and of itself.
That's Jung Ho Kang, 53% owned. Michael Taylor has homered three times in four games. Just saying, Denard Span owners. I guess maybe more like Jason Worth owners. What happens when Span comes back? Harper sits for the red hot Michael Taylor?
Yeah, that's what happens.
What do you think happens when Span's back?
No, Taylor's going to the bench.
Okay.
It's the only thing that can happen.
Well, Worth stinks.
Unless Worth gets hurt again, which is possible.
Doug Fister pitched well at Miami, and Steven Strasburg began a rehab assignment. Joe Ross owners, just saying. Not a good day for Joe Ross.
No.
We'll keep an eye on that one.
Let's just get this Doug Fister character out of here.
Two up and none down today. Two up number one is a guy that I really like. Miguel Sano. He's 80% owned. He has, for all the strikeouts, it's kind of weird to say this, but he has a great eye. Like, he lays off some really tough pitches. I think he just swings hard a lot. But he walks all the time, Miguel Sano. He's got a .429 batting average. Somehow, since being called up, going into yesterday's game, was 16th best third baseman in points and 15 in Roto. But I think he's playing really well, and I think you have to be very happy with what you've got from Sano. He has struggled against lefties so far, but I looked at his minor league numbers, and that was a strength for him. He was amazing against lefties. What do you guys think about Sano going forward?
He's really good. But he plays a pretty deep position. That's the one thing that does give me some pause. It's similar to like Mike Alfranco when he was doing really well. As awesome as he is, you have to pick him up. Super talented. Sano's obviously got way higher upside than Mike Alfranco. But it's hard to crack that top 10 at third base.
Well, for rest of season, not thinking long term. I think the Sano-Franco question is a good one.
Yeah.
Because Franco's done it longer. It hasn't been as reliable lately, but you have to think Miguel Sano at his age with his strikeouts is going to hit, is going to take a dive at some point himself.
Yeah.
I think it's still rather Franco, but this is an encouraging start to Sano's career.
Yeah, Sano's got a .472 BABIP, which is like he's probably not going to hit for more than like a .240 average moving forward.
Scott, you got Beltre ranked ahead of Sano. Who do you really honestly want rest of season?
I really want Beltre.
You do?
Okay. Yeah.
Would you rather have Sano or Plouffe?
Sano.
Francisco Lindor is 49% owned. Last 28 days, going into yesterday's game when he had a huge game with 4 RBI and a home run. And sorry, I did a lot of this research yesterday, as you can tell. Last 28 days going into yesterday, Lindor was the number 11 shortstop in points, number 15 in Roto. So he's hitting pretty well. Lindor is 49% owned. How would you compare him to Jung Ho Gong?
I like Gong more. I don't know. I mean, such a big part of Lindor's production recently has been home runs. And I don't know that we can trust that's part of his game. It's so early in his career, I'm not ruling it out, but based on the scouting reports and minor league track record, it doesn't seem to fit.
Okay. However.
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 He is playing in a pretty good hitter's park. I believe either Akron or Columbus, one of his minor league parks, he did hit 11 home runs in the minors last season. So he's got double-digit power. I think one of those parks is a pretty significant a hitter's park. But he's playing in a good park to see at least some boost in power.
Let's go through these pitchers fairly quickly here so we can do emails and FanDuel DFS rotation. John Lester and Corey Kluber said, take that, critics.
Take that.
Lance McCullers, is he a must start? I sat him in two leagues and regretted it. Of course, I didn't know Mike Trout would be out, but McCullers with a good start against the Angels. Do you consider him a must start?
No,
I don't. It's so up and down, and I think it's going to end very soon.
What do you mean?
With the innings. I mean, he's at his career high now. It's all adding up.
Okay.
Very quickly.
Jose Quintana, is he a must start?
No. He's someone you very much want to start. Especially, I think he only had one start this week, but he's definitely not a must start, but with how well he's playing right now, you're almost certainly starting him.
He's not the kind of pitcher I only start when he has a two-start week.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I guess there's probably a very limited number of pitchers that are true must starts if we get right down to it.
Well, next week, he'll be a must-start. Jose Quintana, he's got two starts, Tampa Bay and at Kansas City, and should make the week hopefully with just that Tampa Bay start. Fringy starting pitchers, talked about a lot of them, Verlander, Corbin, Tillman, but other guys that pitched yesterday, some well, some not so well, Irvin Santana, Mike Fiers. Yeah, Mike Fiers did pretty well. Colby Lewis. Interesting year for Lewis. He's really had like four bad starts. Jesse Chavez, R.A. Dickey, Tom Kohler, DeSclafani was excellent with only three strikeouts, but, Jake Peavy. Anybody jump out at you as we got to talk about this dude?
That was Colby Lewis, you said, has only had.
Yeah, it's weird.
He's got. Yeah, it is, because, yeah, you quality starts in 10 of his last 11. Did you mention that?
No, I didn't get to it.
10 of his last 11 quality starts.
Yeah.
The one that wasn't, 10 earned runs on 12 hits
right.
in four innings, July 5th.
It's pretty bad.
Now, I know a lot of people don't like doing this, but I just think it offers some perspective about how good he's been for basically 2.5 months. 313 ERA. If you take that one terrible start out of that 11 start stretch, 313 ERA, 0.97 WHIP.
Hey, I don't mind doing that because there are some starts that are just like, I think that what you should do, if you take out his worst start, you should take out his best start. And it's probably still a low 3s ERA and a WHIP around 1. Like,
yeah.
He's been very good.
And that's Colby Lewis we're talking about. So he's in the same ownership range as Tillman and Latos and Fiers, Corbin.
I can't wait to drop Irvin Santana.
Really? Drop him?
It's going to happen. Well, because like, he's just been either really good or really bad this season.
Yeah.
And it's like,
no, he made five starts.
I'm fine having him on my roster. I don't mind it. I'm probably never going to start him.
Well, two start weeks, I think you'd roll the dice, right?
And that's next week for him. He's got, he's at Toronto and at Cleveland.
The thing is, with the good and bad starts for Santana, his final line looks like a good Santana season right now. And it's only, what, five starts? But, if we're thinking this is going to be the good version of Santana this year and you just leave him in the whole time through the good and bad, which is easier to do in Roto than points, you're going to be satisfied with the end result.
In the bullpen, Hector Rondon got a save. Jason Mott's been bad, but Mott pitched each of the last two games. Is Rondon worth picking up right now? Because people are kind of scrambling for closers with the trade deadline here.
I would rather pick up
Biscaino.
That's probably the only... Well, Giles is probably too highly owned at this point, but I would... Rondon's 49% owned. I'd much rather have Giles. There's no question.
Yeah.
I just don't trust that Rondon's going to get a consistent role.
Deep leagues, do you have any interest in Wellington Castillo, who homered twice yesterday, or Mike Foltynewicz?
It might need to be more than just deep leagues for Castillo. It would have to be a two-catcher league, probably. But I think he does have legit power. And when you get outside the top 15 catchers, there's not a lot
real shallow.
Yeah, not much you want to invest in there. So I think he's as good as anybody. Foltynewicz is just worth watching because of the upside. He apparently went down to the minors, and I don't think Brooks Baseball is updated yet, so we can't see just how much he threw it, but he apparently added a split finger fastball to his repertoire and broke it out yesterday. That's apparently what he was sent to the minors to work on. So that, you know, you combine that with a 98 mile per hour fastball, interesting things could happen.
That's Nate Eovaldi. Right there, who has just added a splitter and has become a lot better because of it and has a 98 mile per hour fastball. Ken Giles, by the way, is 45% owned. He's actually less owned than Hector Rondon.
That's ridiculous.
Here are the two best reasons I found on Twitter yesterday of why I missed yesterday's podcast.
I hope they weren't too mean.
No, they weren't. A lot of chest hair stuff and stuff about cats.
Do you have a very hairy chest or a not hairy chest?
Adam Azer.
I have a pretty hairy chest, Chris. It's,
I probably have more.
I don't know. Really want to find out.
It's like a shirt.
Okay, then yeah, you probably win.
Both of you guys, like, you can't, well, I mean, Chris just has a beard. First of all, I couldn't grow a beard if I tried. Adam, you're the kind of guy who, you know, before the next day, it looks like you need to shave.
Yeah. So. I should shave twice a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here are some reasons I missed the podcast yesterday from Daniel. Adam Azer didn't come to work because he's in Toronto stalking Jose Bautista for a follow, which apparently is never going to happen. I guess all the people he followed was part of some contest, some promotion. He said, I'll follow you if you vote for me. This happened, I don't know, a year or two ago or something like that.
Adam, I believe in you.
I don't. And Tim Wilson said Adam Azer was being held out of the podcast lineup because he's being traded to the Angels to platoon in left field.
He was spotted crying while preparing for the podcast.
Emails.
Terry Collins.
Emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Leonard from the only city in the country that's in three counties, Ohio.
All right.
I had no idea what that is.
It's a catchy name for a city.
From the only city in three counties. Huh.
I can do some Googling.
Yeah.
5x5 Roto, rest of season, Michael Taylor or Michael Conforto?
Conforto, because he has a job.
Yeah.
And I worried about how that Gomez trade would affect his playing time, but clearly that's a non-issue now.
Scott, do you have the notes in front of you?
Yes.
You want to read the greeting in the next one? I feel like that's your impression.
Dale, Hank, and Bobby.
There you go. Dang it, Bobby. In a points league, rank in order rest of season. This is from Hamilton in Indiana. Matt Latos, Mike Fiers, Quintana, Bauer, Leak.
Quintana, Bauer, Latos, Fiers, Leak.
I think I agree with that across the board. Yep.
We've got an email from Vincenzo Esposito in Fort Lauderdale. Head-to-head points league. Rank rest of season. Just give me a top three here. Granderson, Maben, Schwarber, Melky, Eaton, Peralta. Granderson, Maben, Schwarber, Melky, Eaton, Peralta. Top three.
Melky, Schwarber, Granderson.
There you go.
Jameson in LA. Grade the trade. Syndergaard and Belt for Pujols. 12-team keeper league. Wasn't going to keep Syndergaard, and I need a first baseman for the playoffs. So Syndergaard and Belt for Pujols.
I mean, I guess if it's the kind of keeper league where you're not keeping Syndergaard, that's
I guess you got to do it, but that's
A-.
Yeah, B plus.
And how about a theoretical trade? Shields or Samardzija for Zach Britton. He only has one closer, and he will pick up Aaron Nola. So Shields or Samardzija for Britton.
I don't like paying that much for a closer myself.
Go pick up a closer. Go pick up a Rodas Vizcaino.
Yeah, I'd rather do that. Or, Ken Giles, if he's still there. Yeah. He is in a lot of leagues, apparently.
And last one, Mike from Rhode Island. Tulo, Latroy, and Carlos. After listening to the podcast yesterday, I started to fear the fact that Carlos Gonzalez might get traded. I immediately attempted to trade him in my league. I traded Carlos Gonzalez for George Springer. How did I do?
I think it's a fine trade. I'm not totally buying the cargo return to form. There's still a lot of injury risk, and there's still that risk that he does get traded. And I think when you put those risks together, I think it's fine.
Yet at the same time, George Springer is apparently still 2 weeks away from baseball activities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much is he going to do for you? But it's going to take him so long to get back. How much is...
He's on my, like, do not touch list.
That's fair, because it is a wrist injury.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I can't find this city in Ohio that's in three counties, and if you wasted my time. I'm really frustrated right now.
Wikipedia page.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. And here's a city that's in four counties in Ohio.
Yeah, there's Baltic, which is in Tuscarawas, Holmes, and Coshocton.
Yeah. You and I are looking at the same exact thing, Chris. through all of our chest hair.
Columbus is probably where it is. That's a big city, and it's in Franklin, Delaware, and Fairfield.
So just say Columbus next time. That was really rude. I didn't enjoy that experiment.
Or Huber Heights.
So usually we get to DFS a little bit earlier. Today I will rush things a little bit. Scott, did you make a lineup?
No, I have not.
Oh.
Rush away.
Well, fine. I'll give you the pitching options. I know what you're going to say because you're predictable. You're going Chris Sale.
Of course I'm going Chris Sale. He could have a 25-point game.
Yeah, left-handed pitcher against the Red Sox. Even if it wasn't Chris Sale, I would like it.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Sorry.
Although, Arrieta is not bad.
No, Arrieta is a very good option. I think Arrieta. Carrasco is a really good option against the A's. And I think Shelby Miller against the Phillies is a very good option as well. Those were the only ones I was really considering.
I'm still going Sale, but I'm just saying. Arrieta is at least an ace-level pitcher.
Carmart, I do have a Sale lineup.
Carmart against the Rockies at St. Louis. I know Carlos Gonzalez has been good in the last few games away from home, but that is a stinky, stinky lineup away from Coors.
Well, if you're going to go with Sale, you need cheap hitters, obviously. So let me give you some bargains here. Left-handed Orioles against Alfredo Simon, that could be good, but that's kind of hard to find. Maybe Travis Snyder if he's in the lineup, I don't know. Here are two guys that have ridiculous numbers against Miguel Gonzalez, who have been horrible lately, but are $2,200, which is the cheapest price in FanDuel. Rajay Davis. Rajay Davis is 4-for-12 with 3 home runs in his career against Miguel Gonzalez. For Rajay Davis to have 3 home runs in 12 at-bats against Miguel Gonzalez, that is incredible. But he's 1 for his last 22, and he may not even play. Anthony Gose is also $2,200. He's 6-for-18 with a home run and a double and a triple against Miguel Gonzalez. So you could go with whoever is in the Detroit lineup.
Also, one thing. We haven't talked about him at all, I don't think. At least not that I've been on the podcast. Mike Zunino, rocking an 8-game hitting streak. Hmm. And he's only $2,500 going against Phil Hughes. We know Mike Zunino is a pretty good power hitter. We know Phil Hughes gives up a lot of home runs.
Gonna be honest, Mike Zunino was pretty much DTM.
Yeah,
100%.
And I don't understand your lingo. I don't understand.
Well,
your...
Hughes is better against lefties anyway. He's got the reverse splits going.
I'm using an acronym that you don't understand,
Chris. You don't know what DTM is?
DTM.
Dead to me.
Is that like a?
Al uses it all the time. Al's always declaring people dead.
Some kind of like club drug.
No, oh God.
Club drug.
the kids are using.
All right, there's some other stuff here I just want to run through. Marlon Byrd. You guys might like this one. He's facing a lefty today. He's 4-for-12 with 2 home runs against Jeff Locke. And Marlon Byrd is 2,300.
Oh, yeah. He mashes lefties.
That's what he does against lefties.
Pittsburgh in that same game is facing David Holmberg, so you can find some bargains there. We like Polanco a lot, but he's got the knee injury, so I'm not sure that's going to work. Mitch Moreland is $3,600. He's 4-for-9 with 2 home runs against Pineda, but he's fairly expensive.
He's not worth $3,600.
Chris Carter is 3-for-6 with 2 home runs against Matt Shoemaker, and he's $3,100. I really like Jorge Soler today, 5-for-12 with a home run and 3 doubles against Jimmy Nelson, and he's $2,500. And that production, a lot of it came early this year when, you know, Nelson was the same player and Jorge Soler was not good. And Eric Ibar, if you want a shortstop, he's $2,600. I don't really like this one so much, but he's 7-for-11 with 2 doubles against Scott Kazmir. That's not my favorite. But my Sale lineup has Russell Martin against Danny Duffy. Anthony Rizzo is 3,000. You just got to hope he turns it around. Brian Dozier.
He homered yesterday, right?
He did homer yesterday.
Anthony Rizzo?
Yeah.
Yeah, against Jimmy Nelson, who stinks against lefties.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
That's a great play.
Makes a lot of sense. Brian Dozier against Jay Happ, 3,600. We know Dozier, the Twins in general, are good against lefties. I have Sano in there. He's 2,700. Soler, Bird, and Dexter Fowler, pitching well, facing Jimmy Nelson. I don't know. I might be putting too much faith in the Cubs against Nelson. That's my concern.
I'd only really start left-handers against Nelson. And I don't know how much you watch Daily Fantasy Live, Adam, but I have this very strict policy about pitchers I'm unwilling to start hitters against. Like, I was unwilling to start any Yankees against Colby Lewis yesterday. Basically, if a pitcher is on... you can make an argument a pitcher is in any way good.
Yeah.
I'm not going to start a hitter against him just because I don't think there's a lot of downside to avoiding that kind of pitcher.
Well, then who are we going to stack against? You could.
Well, Holmberg was a great one.
Yeah, Holmberg. But you know the Pirates are expensive. I guess you could get Gong in there. He's not that expensive.
Yeah, I'd be willing to go against Stephen Wright. Jay Happ, Twins against the left-hander. They're always good. And like I said, left-hander specifically against Nelson. I didn't quite make it to the end of my point. When there's a dramatic split for a pitcher like that, I am willing to play into the splits. And, you know, right-handers are bad against Nelson, but left-handers are good. So I think left-handers are a safe play against him.
But I will go with Soler because I like, even though he's a righty, I like him at 2,500 and I like the history.
It's your call, Adam.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you what I'd do.
So the Sano thing was interesting. And the reason I saw his lefty numbers is because I thought, oh, he must mash lefties. He hasn't so far. It's only been 24 at-bats, I think, in the big leagues. But I see a lot of potential tonight for Sano against J-Hap at 2,700 at a position where, you know, it's a pretty expensive position, third base. So I do like him. Rizzo, I think, would be one of our favorites. 3,000 for
that's
Rizzo?
That's my favorite that you brought up, but yeah. Bird was a good one too, yeah.
Okay. All right,
I like
guys.
Schwarber today. He's 3,100, but...
He's a righty?
No, Schwarber's a lefty.
Schwarber's a lefty, okay.
Yeah.
All right, then. That's it for us. Watch DF Live, Daily Fantasy Live, at 4 p.m. Eastern Time every Monday through Friday. Chris Tower, Scott White, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Scott, thank you, Adam.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Play Smash Brothers by yourself. It won't be fun, but...
I will try.